That's working. And now we'll blow the trumpet and let's make sure I'm on PAL talk. Yep. Everything's going.
Go right ahead.
Shabbat Shalom.
Amen. Shabbat Shalom to everybody. Everybody here and everybody out there, wherever you may be on the planet. And I know you could be anywhere, basically. I'm really happy to be here today. It is the Sabbath, and we are one of Messiah congregation. Is that bright enough?
We can see him.
Okay. This seemed like it was too bright. Okay, we are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chab B'Mashiach. One of these days we'll do Hebrew again. I don't know when. It can't be just me and you. But anyway, everybody else is busy working and doing things. Part of the congregation of Israel. Gosh, I wonder where the rest of the family is. We're just a little piece. Just think, there's people all around the world. Just a little piece of this family. Shabbat Shalom. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this study today. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, I always ask you first to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, in any spot, Lord and God, before we even talk to you as King. I pray, Lord and God, you'll bless and anoint this Shabbat. Bless and anoint everyone here. Bless and anoint, Lord, everyone on PAL Talk around the world and anyone who listens to this archived message, which sometimes doesn't allow, but we just praise you for your time. We're here on your day, at your time, and this is the seventh day. And I thank God for the blood of the Messiah. Bless and anoint everyone, Lord, in the body of Messiah. I pray you'll send down healing upon them. I pray you'll increase our faith, give us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and make us unshakable in the truth of the word. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless and anoint this reading in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
We always pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, you guys know my ministry. It feels like it's been doing it for 100 years, but it's only been how long? How long has it been, Carrie, since we've been having this congregation?
October 2002.
So about almost 11 years, something like that. Yeah, it feels like it's been 111. Anyway, it's a teaching ministry. And it's probably not really what's exciting to a lot of people, because some people just like to, from what I remember from the past, you know, I remember it was, the big thing was singing. We'd sing about 50 songs, you'd be standing up and down, and then at the end, you know, you feel delirious. You couldn't wait to sit down for the quick message the guy was going to bring. But mine's just a teaching, mine's just a teaching ministry. I try to bring up subjects you're not familiar with, things you're not familiar with, you know, things you maybe not heard of in your whole life. I try to undelete them for you. Anyway, my server back there is still running, believe it or not. I'm shocked, but it is. For your convenience, you can read my studies nowadays. You can hear them, and now you can watch them. You know, and I would love to come to anyone's congregation, any little group gathering, or anywhere. We've been numerous places in our lives. We always like to show up where there's even one. One of the brothers here, we went to a prison one day and only one person showed up. And that, I didn't feel bad. I figured that was the only one that had it here. You know, whatever. Anyway, we'd love to come. That's what this little link is all about. I've been invited lots of places, but no one ever went through with the deal. I've been invited to like Africa and Canada and all kind of places, and then I never heard from the people again. Anyway, my website, it's, like I said, it's been running for a long time, and I always tell everybody on the internet around the world, if you ever think there's something on it that's incorrect, please let me know, because I'm just a person. I might have said something wrong, or I might have wrote something wrong. Today, I know for sure we're using the Gregorian calendar. And it is May 19th, I'm pretty sure of that, even though it's not really, if you study the calendars, but we'll say it's the 19th, 2012. I was telling my wife this morning on the way here, we haven't thought about, supposedly, in December, supposed to be the end of the world, you know, according to the Mayan calendar. Or now they're changing it, they're saying, it's not the end of the world, it's really a new beginning of something.
That's convenient.
So that's convenient, because that's too general again, you know. But anyway, we know the word May comes from Mayaz month, and this person is the goddess of spring. And you can read all the rest of that. I've been reading it for the whole month, you know. Today's the 19th. But it's a shame that we use a lot of pagan names and deities for our names of our months and the names of our days of the week. It's very terrible. It's actually terrible. But we're so much on automatic pilot, we never consider it. Today we're in the 27th day of the month Ziph. Okay? So this month is about gone. And that little word Ziph, there it is right there. It means brightness. Figuratively, the month of flowers. Isn't that interesting? And there's definitely Tennessee, you could really see the flowers and everything's blooming out there, huh? So anyway, if you have your little Judaism calendar, make sure you change that word IR. There's no word IR in the Hebrew Bible, okay? You guys all know that by now, right?
Yeah.
If I said to you the name of the second month's IR, what would you'd say?
No.
What is it? What is it?
No, it's not. Yeah. First Kings 6.
That's right. First Kings 6:1. You got it.
Where's that in the word?
Where's that in the word? Anyway, I've been saying this for weeks and weeks now. This is probably wrong, that word, that 13. It's probably the 14th or the 15th. I didn't change that.
No, it's the 13th this time.
Well, whatever. He is the only dates left to the spring calendar. Actually, I believe this Tuesday, actually all day Wednesday, is going to be the new moon. So most likely we'll be here for the new moon. Or do you want to be on just online? Probably being online will be easier for everybody. So Tuesday night we'll be online, and then all day Wednesday it's the new moon, which it's not a Sabbath or nothing. So it starts Tuesday evening, the new moon, and of course we're waiting for the Feast of Weeks, which is next Sunday, which is, wow, Feast of Weeks. Well, there's two Sabbaths in a row. That ought to cheer everybody up. Some people it's not. That's right. Two Sabbaths in a row. I was thinking on Pentecost, maybe we can just come here and sing a few songs and then talk about Pentecost and then, you know, because we're going to 2 days in a row. It's going to be pretty plentiful. Anyway, we were told to count Sabbaths, not Omers. Today is the actual sixth Sabbath out of the seven we were told to count, believe it or not. Poor Judaism. They're calling it the Omer 42. I don't know where they got that from. We'll say that in the Bible.
Where's anyway. The 613 commandments?
Yeah, well, we know where that comes from, Maimonides.
They must be next to each other.
We're not counting sheaves of barley. I still can't figure that out for the life of me. How come no one, you know, in Judaism, you'd think one person would raise their hand and say, excuse me, aren't we supposed to be counting Sabbaths? You know, it says it right in Leviticus 23, 15, and 16. There it is. And 17. There's all the verses, right? Count 50 days. So we only got we only got 7 more days. That's pretty amazing. And that's a holy convocation. See, it says you're supposed to do just like a Sabbath. So believe it or not, when I was Pentecostal, I never even heard of anyone doing Pentecost. Isn't that strange? And I definitely never heard it was a Sabbath. Isn't that? I think that's so weird, isn't it? And I was Pentecostal. Anyway, so how have you been behaving these 50 days, spiritually and physically? Oh, that's a deep question. From slaves in Egypt to the people of God spiritually. I've been saying this below since we started our 7-week journey. We will lose, it says, we lost and we'll lose many in this war. We just lost more this week again. Yes, there's more people again departing from us. There's my little sad face. Doesn't make me happy. This dragon is the main cause of everything, obviously behind the scenes, which we can't see. That's the problem. Invisible enemy that wants to rip us to shreds spiritually. He's made war with us. It's easy to forget, too, when summer's out. You know, when it's a nice, beautiful day and everything sounds so peaceful and the birds are out there and, you know, watching the, You know, it's just, who knows, who'd ever think you're at war? Anyway, I just said about the new moon. It's going to be 3%, waxing crescent on Tuesday evening. So we're pretty sure it is. And it's going to be called Sivan. And I parsed the word Sivan down to the word Siv in Hebrew. And that means bright, means splendid. See that? Siv. And that's what Sivan is. Sivan can be found in Esther chapter 8, verse 9. So now you know there's a name of a third month. There it is, Sivan. That's a shame that most people never heard of that, isn't it? Talk to some of your friends and say, hey, Sivan's coming. They say, who's that? Matter of fact, I know some guy called Sivan that's been calling me. Anyway, as I was saying last week, this is what I was saying last week, and I know some people, they don't listen to exactly what I'm saying, because some people think that I don't like the letters. In the past, I've had a lot of people come against me. They thought I was saying, throw the letters away and we don't need those. I never said that. As I was saying last week, these letters from people, from the Keeping Tanakh, show us, how similar situations here today. We have similar situations, and we can use the same correction they advised. I think that's what's so good about the letters. It's actually people that actually lived the Torah and the Tanakh. They found these letters. Anyway, today's topic is, some people desire to be teachers of the Torah, understanding neither what they say nor what they affirm. Recently, I had a guy even just call me up the other day, and gosh, when people call me up, I always wonder if they're calling to say hello or inquire, but this guy was trying to instruct me and teach me stuff, and I said, hold everything. What you're saying is inaccurate, and you know, we had a little conversation that ended. So I said to him very politely, I said, look, instead of this little conversation causing, you know, a dilemma, or maybe we're misinterpreting each other, why don't you just go to my website, I said, look through it. If you see something you disagree with, let me know. I said, right now, you don't even know me, and I don't know you, and I'm just hearing what you're saying, and it doesn't sound right. Paul says, who I trust, he's an apostle of Yeshua the Messiah. This is first, he's writing to Timothy. By the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, which is our hope. You know what I always say that's such a such an opening sentence. I mean, look how many times he said, Yeshua the Messiah, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Yeshua the Messiah our Lord. I don't remember getting an email like that. Could you imagine if you got like a letter like that or an email? Wow. That's gone. Now, Paul is trying to instruct this young man, Timothy, because he's in charge. He says, this is unto Timothy, okay? So this is a letter that was found written unto Timothy, as if you wrote a letter unto somebody and they found it, and you're keeping the Torah, and you were the one that founded this church and put Timothy in charge, okay? As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, so Timothy's at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And you're not even supposed to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So, I don't know if you're familiar with, you know, fables and endless genealogies. I've been on the internet, I've been caught, you know, people try to catch me up with genealogies and this genealogy and that one that doesn't match this and that don't match that. It's just a big waste of time. It's
what if
just,
they end?
Excuse me?
What if the genealogies end?
What if the genealogies end? I don't know. But what I'm trying to say is it was sort of like an endless kind of a no point conversation, and you don't go nowhere. It's not godly. It didn't edify nobody. At the end, I just got a headache. And I'm sure the other guy got one too. So we don't want to go through anybody's doctrines or fables or genealogies because they only minister questions. It says, now the end of the commandment, and doesn't mean the commandment is ended. That word end there is telos. It's the goal of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith, genuine, unfeigned, from which, it says, from which some having swerved has turned aside unto vain jangling. That's a deep, I don't know what that, if that's not in the Greek, but that's pretty fancy in the English. Vain jangling sounds like, you know, false doctrines. It says they desire, some people desire to be teachers of the Torah. I met lots of people like that, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. That's, I don't know if you've come across people that are, want to be teachers of the Torah.
Do you mean people that want to not teach the Torah, that think they're teaching you not?
Some people don't teach the Torah, right? And then some people want to get paid. Some people want to get paid to teach the Torah. But I've met a lot of people that have done this. And the reason why I say, I don't, let's see, I must know someone that I believe somewhere that's got it right. If you know somebody, let me know. Paul tells the Romans, now I beseech you, brethren and sisters, mock them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned. And what are you supposed to do? Have a party with them? Avoid them. I do. I try to avoid them. I don't want to be around them. Mock them. Boy, a lot of people, I remember when I first read these verses on the internet, somebody said, that's Lashon Hara. And that in Hebrew means the evil tongue. I said, no, no, I didn't say that. I'm off the hook again. Paul said that. He said to mock them and avoid them. He tells that to the Romans. And look, this is what he says to the Ephesians. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. These are actual situations that have gone on and do go on. We've had lots of people come to our little congregation here with their little doctrines. I've had the wildest one I think we ever heard was one of the wildest. I think the devil is on an asteroid. The lady was serious, but.
It'd be nice for him to be contained there.
Oh, she thought that was wormwood or something?
I don't know. Then she said the devil is bound. I said, well, is he on an asteroid or is he bound? I don't know. I said, I think. I asked her if she watched it. Well, I just asked if she watched the news lately. There's a lot of evil out there. It doesn't seem bound to me. Anyway, we've had lots of doctrines show up. But we read too much of these epistles. These are actual events that have taken place with a lot of the brothers and sisters from the past. So it's good advice. I mean, great advice. Now, the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times, and I'm suspecting, I hope these are the latter times. Because it wasn't back then, this is almost 2,000 years from this. So I guess we're getting closer to the latter times. It says, some shall depart from the faith. So it's not a shocker to me when people leave. It says it's going to happen. Why do they leave? They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Wow, that sounds drastic. Look what it says, speaking lies in hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Some people actually forbid to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. We've had people come here and tell us that you had to be a vegetarian. I mean, you know, that's another doctrine. I don't know. If you feel like eating vegetables, great. I eat a lot of vegetables. I had carrot juice yesterday. But I'm saying I'm not going to, you know. But Apostle Paul says, if meat offends you, I'm not going to eat it in front of you while you're around. I'll go eat my steak when you're not looking. Because it's not breaking the commandments. You know, in other words, we don't. If something we know is going to offend someone's, the Bible calls it a weak conscience, I will not do it while the world stands, lest I offend Christ. So I'm not going to do it. You know what I mean? It's that simple. Because otherwise it says you're sinning against God. It says that.
They use that verse, though, to say that you're not supposed to, that it's okay to eat everything.
No, this doesn't say eat everything.
Well, I know.
No, I hope you do eat everything that God intended, but doesn't mean to eat things that have never... The only way you have to always put it in the context of there's things that have never been construed as food. I want you to eat everything God gave you.
Right.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But not things that are not food.
What do you call unclean is still unclean.
Yeah. It says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received for thanksgiving. Of course. It's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. See, but you have to have, again, you have to know these people's personalities, which I do, and you have to know where they're coming from, the Torah. So I know when he's saying that, he could only mean the clean animals, because that's just what he means. It says, for it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. But if you don't know that, if you don't know Torah, and if you don't know what the Bible says, then you say, oh, just eat anything it's saying.
And they say that by
well, wrap me up a donkey and put some mayonnaise on it, you know.
Pray over the pig meat. That's what they say by
me. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't say that. But you have to know, you have to put it in context of Torah.
Right.
Got to remember, these people that are writing these letters, that's all they had. You got to remember that. They didn't have the Gospels. I mean, Paul never read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And, you know, and... But anyway, it says, if you put the brother in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Yeshua the Messiah. So you got to remind everybody, nourished up in the words of faith and of a good doctrine, wherein thou hast attained. But it says, refuse profane and old wives' fables. Isn't there books of wives' fables? Or is that somebody's fables?
Aesop's
fable.
I think it was a guy.
I don't know if that's wise. But anyway, there's a term, that's an old wives' fable.
Tales.
Yeah. And it says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Paul has this thing about writing, I guess he's trying to really make sure nothing happens to Timothy because he was a young person there. He says, let as many servants as are under the yoke, which we're under the yoke of God, count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, in other words, if you have a job and you make sure you do what your boss tells you, and you'll be a good testimony. And if you have a believing boss, let them not despise them because they are brethren. They're your brothers, even though they're the boss. But rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So anywhere you go, you're supposed to be a testimony and you're supposed to be a light of the world. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Because even if you're working for like an ungodly boss, he's going to see your good works. You never curse, you never steal, you never do anything weird. Not trying to do mutiny and shipwreck the place. Now it says, if any man teach otherwise, and you consent not to these wholesome words, even the words of our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, you are proud. You know nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words. Every time I see strifes of words, I always think of, they always try to say, but it says in the Greek, no, and they don't speak Greek. They just read it out of somebody's concordance. But anyway, it says they have questions and strifes of words. Whereof comes, here's what happens. Only thing that shows up is envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Gain isn't godliness. From such, again, withdraw yourself. This is the opposite of what I hear, the way I was raised in different religions. You know, you're supposed to bend over backwards with people. That's what they teach. This Paul's telling everybody to avoid them, mock them, get away from them, yeah. Withdraw yourself. Such a different message in the Bible, huh? Yeah. Now, here's Peter. You trust him, don't you? Remember him? He was one of the apostles. He said, but there was false prophets also among the people. There was, too. That's the people in the Torah. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. That's not just a heresy. This is a damnable one. It says, even this is pretty bad, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And you know what's really sad about that? Because some people don't read the Bible. many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious means very hurtful. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Yep. And through covetousness, faithful, there's that old covetousness, which is idolatry, shall they with feigned words, that's very ungenuine, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. In other words, once the breath goes out of them, they're still going to meet the Lord. Speaking of that, about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I had a friend, but let me set the stage here for a second. A couple of months ago, I had a friend visit me I haven't seen in a long time. Came and visited me, and if somebody I knew for like, 35 years or 40 years, he came to, just came to say hello, and I was great. I was happy to see him and everything. He looked like his son's in Stanford University, his other one's graduated, everything's going, sound like everything was beautiful. I just found out a week and a half ago, the guy hung himself, committed suicide. I'm shocked. So you just never know what's in anyone's mind, So you got to be careful. The damnation is waiting. If you murder yourself, where do you go? You can't repent. You just committed murder. Boy, that's a horrible thing to think of. I just added that to that little verse, that little story, because people's damnation right now, it's not slumbering. They're still going to meet the Lord, and once the breath goes out, hell is waiting. Paul writes a lot to Timothy. He says, again, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who shall judge the quick, the ones that are alive, and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Whew. This is a commandment. Preach the word. Did you preach the word last week? It says, be instant in season and out of season. In other words, you have to always be ready. It says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. I know a lot of people nowadays, they buy books and books and books and books, and they never read God's book. And they got so many teachers and people telling them stuff, and they read so many DVDs, and they got whatever the form. That's what reminds me of nowadays. They heap to themselves teachers. Besides physical teachers, nowadays you can get all these teaching seminar things, and this guy says this, and she said that, and he said this, and before you know, you go, whoa, which one? What do I believe? In fact, I actually had people tell that to us. They listen to so many studies of people. This one girl said to us, she goes, I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know what to say to her because I don't know all the things she heard to try to unravel everything, It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And then, of course, they get turned onto fables that you're supposed to not supposed to be with, right? Back to the Hebrews, the letters to the Hebrews, it says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Like if people want to, like in my house, I don't let anyone come and bring a doctrine to my house because the Bible says you're not supposed to do that. But if, let's say, one of those groups come to my house, I'm all ready for them. I go to all my notes right by the door. I got all their false prophecies, and boy, they don't even get a chance. They leave away with a little tail behind them. And one guy left really shocked. He went and got his supervisors, his big cheeses, and that was great because I got him. And it's not me getting him. I'm trying to explain that their doctrine is not correct. If I didn't care about them, I'd just say beat it. Because they're coming to my door, But I just like to say, maybe you got it wrong. Hold on a second. Look at all these false prophecies that your religion shows you. They didn't even know about any of them because that's kept from them. Anyway, supposed to be one mind, spirit and body. Mind, spirit, and body. Seems like I heard of those three things connected with a lot of things. Paul writes to the Romans and says, we then that are strong, what are we supposed to do? Step on the weak? No, we're supposed to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. It says, let every one of us please his neighbor, for this is good to edification. Amen. For even Messiah pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee, they fell on me, the Messiah. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime in the Torah, you know, the Tanakh, were written for our learning, that we through the patience, that's a hard thing, huh? Sometimes patience. Don't you want anything right now? Sometimes patience is hard. It says patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience, he's a God of patience. I bet he's waiting for everybody to repent if they just would. And consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Messiah Yeshua. That we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And I believe the same thing. I want us to all believe the same thing, have one mind, one understanding, one thing, I mean, you know, and it's not our mind, it's not my understanding, okay? I want you to follow Apostle Paul here because he's got it together. He's following Yeshua. He writes to the Corinthians the same thing. He says, finally, brother, farewell. Be perfect. How's that? He didn't say, do your best. That's the way the world tells you. No, he said, be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind when I leave you guys. He says, live in peace.
Yes.
And the God of love and peace shall be with you.
Amen.
Who doesn't want peace? Pray for world peace. Nah. Nah. That's not going to happen, but I mean, it's a nice prayer, but I mean, that's not happening, unfortunately. Now, he writes to the Philippians, and he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Messiah, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Just think if we had a few groups. Imagine if we had different congregations in different states and we were all doing this for a number of years and, you know, let's say you were sent to that group to go find out. You hope they're of one mind after we haven't been there in a few years. Let's see what they're thinking. And then you go to the other place and that's what they had to do. You know, it was so hard. They had to travel. There was no phones. Paul couldn't call up, hey, Timothy, what's happening? Or he couldn't send him an email. He had to go sail there. And then he finds them sometimes in shambles, you know, because Satan waits for the leader to leave, and then the wolf loves coming with a big smile and takes over. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Messiah, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be what? Like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, one mind. Look at this verse right here. Verse 3, it says, let nothing. Does that mean some things? No, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. That's really something to think about, right? That flesh, because my flesh, you know, always wants to, wait a minute, I'll make a stand. But you're supposed to take the lower seat and say, oh, Messiah took the lower seat. I mean, he could have just zapped everybody into oblivion, but he died for the sins of the world. I mean, think about that. He died for people when they were yet sinners. I would never do that. I wouldn't trust them. But he happens to know their heart, you know. He knows a little more than me. Peter says, finally be of... Okay, I read that. Oh, no, this is different. It says, finally... He always says finally for some reason, you know, he keeps talking. He says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. This is really important right here. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. I hate doing that. But contrarywise, blessing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. These are all good, really good verses to keep current with. Because that's what we're supposed to do. They are just like we are. In the Corinthians it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Right? For by one spirit are you all baptized into one body. Unfortunately, the churches out there, they made two bodies. I don't know, have you ever been to a church out there? I'm using the word church as a, you know, different religion. Did you ever hear them say, we're the church and we got to pray for Israel? Did you ever hear that before? Yeah, that's making two bodies because there's only one body. You're either in the Israel of God, because they always, I always used to wonder, wait a minute, I thought there was one body, because you're either in it or you're not. Look what it says right here. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether you be Jews or Gentiles. Whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink of one spirit, right? Not two. Ephesians says, through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father, right? Ephesians says, I used to always quote this, Carrie used to always smile when I said this, for there's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. That's Amen. Quite a that's quite a statement by Apostle Paul there. He's making sure. The only reason this is such a really, I know maybe you guys haven't come across these kind of debates, but I've been in lots of debates where there's two different gospels, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles. Then I heard one minister say that the Jews, let's see, never rejected the Messiah. The Messiah was never sent to him. They have a different way of salvation. Yeah, it's amazing. I've heard so many different doctrines. Sometimes it's shocking. Yeah, it's John Hagee-ish. I actually have the tape of him saying that. I was pretty shocked. Anyway. Huh? Yeah. That's right. You all. See that right there? And you all. Yeah. There's only one. Yep. I don't want to... it's pretty amazing how the devil tries to make it seem like there's more than one of everything. I mean, he made 50,000 religions.
He's about divisions.
You could spin the wheel and just pick one.
You don't care how he divides as long as he does.
He's divided the whole world up between race. No, I mean, excuse me, there's only one race. From nationality to nationality. He's divided up... religions, beliefs, he's divided up everything. He's had a... John says, beloved, I like the way he opens the sentence. Maybe I should open my study like that. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God, even the spirit, every spirit that confesses that Yeshua... the Messiah is come in the flesh, and that's the flesh of Israel, is of God. And the only reason I put that of Israel there, because, again, I've been through many debates where they say he's from the flesh of the Portuguese or the, you know, the somebody else. No, he's from the flesh of Israel.
But that was at that time. That was a whole lot of
them. Now there's a lot. Yeah, so much more now. I wonder what Apostle Paul would have done in the days now. Gosh. He'd be stoned a lot more nowadays. Actually, they just throw him in jail a lot now. It says, hate crimes. It says, whereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, the Messiah, has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Yeshua, the Messiah, has come in the flesh is not of God. And that is the spirit of Antichrist. That right there can be taken as a hate crime. I'm suing you, Apostle Paul.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty strong words. That you're trying to. In other words, there's religions out there that don't have the Son. So if they don't have the Son, don't have the Father.
Right.
So who are they praying to?
Bible calls them a liar.
But the big giant, they sing nice, and there's big giant congregations of people that don't believe in the Son. That's a scary thing. But that's what John says. Nowadays, that could be taken as, how dare you say that to me? And I'm sure it's going to happen. I always say, I never want to go out. There's Malachi or Angelo, whoever you want to call me. What happened to him? Oh, he slipped on a banana peel. No, I want to go out exciting. So anyway, and I also don't want to slip on a banana peel. Don't get me wrong. It says, you are of God, little children. Children? What do you mean? I'm old. Well, you're little children to him. And have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Mm-hmm. Now, we've recognized this on some people that come here, or they used to come here. They are of the world. You know why? Because we found out that's all they want to do is speak of the world. We don't want to do that on the Sabbath. And the world hears them. We are of God, and he that knows God hears. Some people, I was telling my wife this morning, this verse right here, boy, people must really hate this verse, because who does John think he is? He says, we are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that's not of God hears not us. Like nowadays, if you try to say that to someone, they'll say, who do you think you are? I got the truth. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty strong words. He goes, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There's actually a spirit of error that's floating around. That's a scary thing.
How dare you? I get such a better lie. How dare you? Who do you think you are?
Well, I mean, if you said that to somebody nowadays, could you imagine what you'd get? Hey, what are you talking about? I'm of God. If you don't hear what I'm saying, you're not of God. Man. Yeah, they'll say, who do you think you are, right?
They say, how dare you?
Now, I don't know if somebody said that to him. I'm sure somebody must have. They must have said something like that to him, I guess. But he didn't care. He said, beloved, let us love one another. You know why? Love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not, you couldn't possibly know God, because God's love. That's important. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because God, I mean, this is pretty amazing to me. God actually sent his Son to be the only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Just think, God can't die. So he figured out a way that he could actually die for the sins of the world. He sent his word, and his word became flesh and dwelt among us. And his word is God. Isn't that amazing? Because God can't die, but he figured out a way that he could die, even though it's beyond our imaginations. He spoke this word, and it became flesh in this body that was born of a virgin, known as Yeshua. Isn't that amazing? Went right into his body, even though it's a person that could die, you know? It even says a body was prepared for him. It says that. It says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's the sin atonement, the sacrifice. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought to also love one another. You have to do that. I love you. That's why I'm going to tell you the truth, right? If I hate you, I'll just go, eh, who cares? That's how you can tell if somebody don't love you. They just go, eh, I don't. No, but if somebody loves you, they'll tell you the truth, right?
Yep.
It says, no, look what it says right here. No man or woman had seen God at any time. What do you think of that? That sounds like a contradiction, huh? It says, if we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. No one's ever seen God, meaning the Father and all his omnipotent, unbelievable, whatever, you know, whatever.
Of him, but not
But we've seen the Word of God become in many manifestations. You know, people in the Bible have seen many manifestations of God. I always brought that up when the Word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, there's someone speaking right there. The Word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, saying, it wasn't just words floating around. The word of the Lord came. The Word of the Lord came everywhere, saying, it was a manifestation of God in some form, speaking. But no one's ever seen God, which sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. It says, hereby know we that we dwell in him. Boy, he really believes in what he's saying here. Hereby Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he had given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoso ever shall confess that Yeshua is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Think of all the religions that don't confess that.
All the ones that do and don't do what he says.
And there's a lot that say that and don't do what he says, too. That takes in a lot of people. How could they all be wrong? I don't know. Ask Noah. Anyway. And it says, we have known and believed that the love that God had to us, God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. I bet there's a lot of people on the internet saying, boy, what's wrong with Malachi? He's talking about love a lot. Hey, God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Yeah. There's no fear in love. Real, that's the fear of the world. That's love of God. But perfect love casts out fear. Because you know why? The fear of the world has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. I don't worry about, oh, I wonder if there's going to be a this or that, or, you know, worry all day long, you know. I believe God is watching and running the show. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, and that means a woman too, I love God, and you hate your brother or your sister, guess what?
You're a liar.
You're a liar. Wow, that's strong. He or she that loves not his brother or sister whom he had seen, how in the world can you love God who you didn't see? That's a good argument. If you can't even love your brother and sister, how are you going to love God? You've never seen him. Did he come into your house yesterday and go, hi, I want to talk to you? I doubt that. It says, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. And that means your sister too. Such a love message today. I'll probably get emails on this. Everybody think, man, did that guy lose his mind? That's not like him. Anyway, in the last 6 weeks, we have encountered many spirits of error. Gosh, this happens every year too. All the 6 weeks, we meet every spirit of error. Today I realized why. Because the spirit of truth is actually coming again. The spirit of error is trying to be the counterfeit, and the spirit of truth is actually coming next week. It says, if you love me, not me, Yeshua is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Yeshua says, I will pray the Father, and he's going to give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And check this out. Even the Spirit of Truth gives me the chills. I like that. Whom the world cannot even receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Yeshua says, listen to this. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He is the Spirit of Truth. He is the Father. He is the Word. He is the Son. They're all one. He says, I will come to you. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKadosh, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So if you read a lot of stuff Yeshua says, it's going to always pop back into your mind. You don't have to know chapter and verse because that doesn't matter anyway. Well, you'll know what he said, so you can relay it to somebody. John says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. This is in John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you, he's telling the people back then, that he had to go. He had to go away. Because if he goes not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Isn't that amazing? And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Isn't that sad? Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, Satan. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Hallelujah. Thank God. He shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father had are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. And then, of course, many years later in the book of Acts, the apostles, it says, we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom God had given to them that obey him. I don't know if anyone has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's important to have. I got it. Makes me different. So in closing, watch out for false teachers, doctrine, brothers, sisters, apostles, false science, accusers, prophets. As we make our 7-week journey to meet God again, did you ask yourself these two questions? How are you behaving these 50 days? You've got to remember, there's a lot of spiritual activity happening. Satan loves to get you. Are you truly born again of the Spirit of the God of Israel? That's a deep question. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Are you tarrying or did you leave? That's sad. The Feast of Weeks is coming. That's happy. Pentecost is coming. We are all one in Messiah. And that says Shabbat Shalom. And that's a short little study today. The Spirit of Truth is on its way again, spiritually speaking, symbolically. He's always here. I don't know if you ever seek for the baptism. That's important. But that is a gift of God. Still around. It says to whosoever will. Anyway, I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom. Hope you got something out of this study today. Did you get enough love? Okay. You don't know how to treat each other now? Anyway. Yeah, we're all in this together. When you think it over, you know, we're really all in this together. And the world out there is really against us. So, let's all be one in Messiah. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. It was short and powerful. And I thank you for the Shabbat, Heavenly Father. Bless and anoint everyone here. Bless everyone on Pow Talk around the world. And I pray you'll help every one of us in every area that we need. And that's spiritually and physically, Lord and God. You know exactly what we need to make it to the kingdom of heaven. We don't want things we want. We want what we need to make it. Heavenly Father, I pray always, Lord and God, that you'll bring shalom to us. And I thank you for the Spirit of peace now and the Spirit of truth, Heavenly Father. Bless and anoint the rest of this day. Bless the food, the singing, whatever we do. Let it be to the glory of God and the edifying of the body. And let us be always watchful of this invisible enemy that just seems to try to seep in. Heavenly Father, let us recognize him and rebuke him in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless you and Shabbat Shalom. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
Shabbat Shalom.
And now I'm going to shut that off.